Hey, CityCast listeners. Houston's Hispanic heritage runs deep. It's rooted so far into our history that we may not even realize how essential it's become to our everyday lives. But don't worry. U of H history professor Raul Ramos is here to tell us just how deeply the culture is woven into the fabric of Houston. It's Tuesday, September 27th. I'm Carleon Jones, and this is CityCast Houston. When we think about Texas traditions, I think we typically overlook the big contributions that Latinos have made to Texas. What are some simple everyday things that you feel like people don't realize deprive from Hispanic heritage?
Well, first of all, this is Hispanic Heritage Month, and it's a time when we reflect on not just contributions, but really how Latinos, particularly the Mexican-American community has impacted our region. And really, I think beyond the impact, really makes up an integral and significant part of the community. So what I think is important to recognize is how Latinos are somewhat in the background, but yet it's that background that makes this place what it is. I like to think, you know, to ask folks in Houston in particular to think, you know, what would this place be like without Latinos? And it would be radically different. I like to joke, it would be Alabama with oil. No disrespect to Alabama, but that's, you know, what makes this place what it is our community. Our culture is everywhere. You know, I don't know anybody who hasn't either been to or seen a quinceañera, for instance, right? The sort of 15-year-old coming of age celebration. And, you know, you look at the court, at the chambelanes who participate in the quinceañeras, and they're not just Mexican. You know, it's a community celebration. And that's what makes a Hispanic community open. It makes it participatory. It's you walk in and out of it. You don't even know when you're doing it in some ways. That's how ingrained it is in our community. You know, even our landscape, the way we look at our urban landscape is Latino. You drive down Navigation, drive down Harrisburg Road, even Long Point, right? These are Mexican communities. These are Latino communities. And it's part of our urban fabric. You know, I think when people think of Hispanic heritage, the first place they go to is Mexican food, of course. And certainly that's unmistakable, but even that's become part of our daily lives. You know, you leave Houston and you realize outside of Texas, folks don't eat breakfast tacos every morning. You know, that is a shock, you know, for some of us. We become accustomed to that, as we should. And this is the moment where we're recognizing and at least raising awareness of that, of how integral we are to the Houston culture.
And another thing is that I know a lot of Latinos are looked at as immigrants who kind of just contributed to the making of our state without people knowing the history of Texas and the wars that happened here. A lot of people don't realize that it's more so of a foundational aspect to Texas. How do you take this? What do you think about this?
One of the challenges I feel when I am asked what are the contributions that Latinos make is that contribution feels like you're bringing a dish to the potluck, right? And in this case, you're the table, you're the room, right? It's everything. Historically speaking, this was Mexico. One of the ways I like to frame history is by saying, you know, when you celebrate Independence Day, most folks look at July 4th, right? 4th of July, that's our Independence Day. Well, 4th of July, 1776 took place somewhere else. In 1776, where we're sitting here in Houston today, was not part of American independence. This was Spain in 1776. Independence for Houston should be celebrated on 16 de septiembre, on the 16th of September, 1810, when Mexico declared independence from Spain. That was when Texas became independent from Europe. July 4th was imported to Houston when American immigrants came to Texas and immigrated to Mexico, they brought July 4th with them. And it gives us a sense of how the transplanted American culture and the transplanted American history has made its way to become the dominant culture, again, as it should. We're in the United States. This is America. And in that 170 years since that American migration, Mexican community has, you know, was here, has always been here, continues to grow, both by marriage and intermarriage. It's a growing community and one that continues to grow here in Houston with those original roots, right? It's mm-hmm. it's always been here. It's always been present. Now it's becoming, at least demographically, the largest part of our region.
Yeah. What about some major contributions from the civil rights movement? I know that when we look back on history, some people might think of civil rights movements as only the African-American community, but Hispanics had their own personal civil rights movement. So what was that like here in Houston?
Well, in Houston and in Texas, the Hano community, the Mexican-Texan community, has always looked internally to survive, you know, various moments of terror. You know, you have late 19th and early 20th century lynchings of Mexican Texans, Tejanos, throughout Texas in the hundreds, right? This is not just a rare occasion.
Wow.
And that's on one extreme. On the other end is the day-to-day segregation that Tejanos had endured throughout the 20th century. And it's that segregation and those contradictions that the Hanos were able to raise, to bring up in court cases. For instance, the desegregation of juries took place in the Hernandez case in Victoria, Texas, or in Gonzales, should I say, where the Supreme Court declared that Mexican Texans that were being treated as a separate group. In another case, the desegregation of Mexican schools became one of the cases that was decided right before Brown v. Board of Education. So it is very much part of the civil rights legal landscape, as well as the kind of political organizing. And I think a lot of that came after World War II, when Mexican-American and other Latino veterans fought in the war and then came back home and realized that that those promises that they were fighting for abroad were not being met back at home.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, are there things specific to Houston that you look at every day and you're like, if Hispanic heritage was not here, this would not be at all a thing?
Sure. We live in a place where our town names, our street names, our family names are everywhere. Right? So, and our language is everywhere. And I think that, you know, we're seeing that more and more in music and popular music. We're seeing that more and more in what is just considered American, right? That's the transition that we're seeing here. You know, family support, a culture of going to parks, going to public spaces and going as families, going as extended families and really being out and present. I noticed it most when Houston opened Discovery Green Park downtown. And you would see the use of that park, certainly by all of Houston, but Latino families in particular, really support these public spaces as they do throughout their communities. So I think it's not a hidden part of Houston. It's very much a public part of Houston.
Even with the Houston Rodeo, right? We got rodeos pretty much from Hispanic culture, and I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Sure, one of my favorite moments every year being here in Houston is the rodeo parade. And for me, the special part is not the parade itself. It's not lining up downtown and watching the floats by. It's watching the trail riders come in. If you just walk down Memorial Drive, you'll see essentially cowboy culture, vaquero culture from all directions, from the east in Louisiana to the west, on the other side of I-35, to the south and South Texas. And you'll hear music and language. And really that kind of trail riding and vaquero culture is very much part of Mexican Mexican rural culture, Mexican ranching culture. Those traditions go back centuries to the way that cattle were raised in a free range across the region and across the state. You have the cattle drives up to Kansas City and St. Louis, or the the ranches that have generations of Mexican families living on them. You know, these are very much part of our Tejano heritage and our Tejano culture. And of course, the rodeo itself, the word rodeo comes from Spanish, right? Rodeo. It's that it's literally the name of the ring, the arena, where cowboys, again, vaquero, comes from the word vaca, which means cow, right? Where the vaqueros demonstrate their skills and their abilities to each other, really.
Do you feel like Hispanic culture has reached a point of full acceptance currently, or do you feel like there's still a long way to go?
There's several barriers, I think, that we live through. On the one hand, you'll see that the number of intermarriages where, I look at my children's classmates in school, and many of them have one parent who's Mexican or Latino, and really the demographics of this and the next generation are going to change radically and are going to continue to change. What this is raising is how we think about race and ethnicity in the United States, one where, at least historically, we've thought just in race is a black and white. What are you? Mm-hmm. Are you this or are you that? Well, can you be both? Can you be more than one thing? Certainly, if we look south, if we look to Latin America, if we look to not just Mexico, but the Caribbean, the idea of mixed race identity, of mestizo identity, is very much part of a centuries-long social tradition. It doesn't mean that there's, equality all across, but it does mean that there are mixed race identities that are the norm, that are very much part of the culture. And I think that's one of the contributions that we're going to slowly start to see, that that Hispanic culture is going to, transform American culture, one where this idea that race is just black and white. I mean, you look at your census, and Hispanic is its own category, right? There's race, and then there's Hispanic yes, no, right? That's essentially the census saying, well, we don't know where to put this, and we'll let future generations decide. But, that yes, no category, I think, is going to become much more common as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. And as we said before, it is Hispanic Heritage Month. How are you celebrating this month? And also, what are some things people can do to honor Hispanic heritage on the daily besides, when the month actually ends?
It just so happens my kids are the right age where they're going to multiple quinceañeras. So that just seems to be on my mind right now. I think in my own mind, it's participating in conversations. It's raising awareness is one thing we could do. And understanding, I think, the ways that we tend to generalize Mexican and Latino communities as foreign and outside rather than integral and native, essentially. So that's, I think that's maybe a shift I would ask folks to consider and to think about, again, when we look at Houston, and if you were to take away the Hispanic community, there would just be a huge gaping holes in our social fabric. And there's not like necessarily a section of town where you say, well, this is Hispanic section, this is not. Our culture is everywhere. And so in that regard, it's going into these neighborhoods and realizing this is my city for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. This is your city. This is, and this is what makes your place, your city, different than any other city in the country and really in the world. And I think that's recognizing that and participating in it is mm-hmm. something that we should all be doing on the daily.
Yes, I agree. Raul, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
It was great talking to you.
It was great talking to you as well.
That was Raul Ramos. Now I'm here with producer A.K. Almotman to see what else is going on around Houston.
At the Texas Tribune's annual festival this year, Fairbanks County District Attorney Brian Middleton clarified his statements from earlier this summer, when he and five other prosecutors vowed to not pursue abortion-related charges, saying he would review the facts of each case before making a decision to pursue. Although he did reveal that Texas's new abortion restrictions still confound district attorneys. In a quote during the With Conviction panel at the festival on Saturday, Middleton said the criminal justice system is meant to keep people safe. I don't think it's right to criminalize a medical decision. The panel, which included Harris and Kaufman district attorneys Kim Ugg, a Democrat, and Early Nerval Wiley, a Republican, where they discussed the impracticality and resource drain the new restrictions have been on their offices, Wiley stating that while she is against abortion, criminal charges for abortion providers is, quote, concerning, saying, I know my personal beliefs, but I don't want to impose my beliefs on you or someone else. This battle has been going on since the 70s, and now we are taking it to a whole new criminality. She ended by saying, that was unexpected.
That's it for today here on CityCast. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend? Rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. As always, we'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Until then, bye. Raul Wamp, oh, I'm sorry. Raul Wamp, oh, I can't talk this morning.